Okay, page Ayin Gimel. This is a piece labeled the Isru Chag Shal Pesach. However, what is Isru Chag? Usually refer to Isru Chag as the day after Pesach, or the day after any Yom Tov, where we try to attach ourselves to the Yom Tov. Right? Recognize the phrase from Hallel. Isru Chag Ba'avoyisim Ad Karnos HaMizbeach. We want to cling to the Yom Tov. It's actually interesting. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Isru Chag is mentioned in Halacha even before Yom Tov. So I once saw an amazing explanation. Why do you mention Isru Chag in the Shulchan Aruch even before you get to Yom Tov? Isru Chag is the day after Yom Tov, where we try to hold on to the Yom Tov. One of the great, I think it was Rav Saratskin said, River Falls Saratskin, said that that the idea is that if you don't realize that Yom Tov is going to be over before it even starts, then it's going to go by so quickly. I mean, you have to remind yourself, before you even enter into the Yom Tov, remind yourself, by the way, Pesach is going to go fast. So you better chap arayim. You better grab it. Before you know it, it's going to be Isru Chag. So Halacha introduces us to Isru Chag even before the start of the Yom Tov. It's like a warning, be careful. You're going to wake up and realize, Pesach's over already, I can't believe it. Where did it go? So part of the planning for Yom Tov is to realize that, unfortunately, it doesn't stay forever, but hopefully the Hashpa of the Yom Tov stays forever. Okay, and we'll see maybe how this piece somehow connects to the concept of Isru Chag. V'lav dafka. That was just the time that this was given in the year 1940. Yeah.
Back in my sixth of Hasidim days,
yeah,
the Noam Schultz introduced, I guess it's a Hasidish minhag, to smell the summon Friday night before, say Kiddush. And he explained that
beautiful.
The idea is that you don't have a taste of what's about to come,
wow,
before you lose it. You know it's eventually
going to
end.
Good.
You know the Chalice is eventually going to end. So.
Right, before you know it, it's going to be Havdalah and you're going to be smelling the Besamim. So you're reminding yourself at the start of Shabbos. Right.
The only point of
grab onto.
I'm sorry, just give me a few minutes, it'll start to cool down. We just shut
down. Oh, okay, window, thank you. We appreciate that.
As long as the windows are open, remember, it's not above 60 degrees today, so the boiler automatically turns on.
Got it.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Yeah, I hear. That's nice. I never heard that explanation of that minhag of Besamim Friday night. Okay, Chaver, we say in Az Yashir, Tivi Emo Vesita Emo Bahar Nachalascha. Machoin Leshivtacha Pa'alta Hashem. Mikdash Hashem Korenu Yadecha. Okay, beautiful poetic pasuk. What does it mean? Tivi Emo Vesita Emo Bahar Nachalascha. Kadosh Baruch Hu, bring B'nai Yisrael. And sita emu, the lashon of netiyah, and plant us. Bring us and plant us in Eretz Yisrael. Machon l'shivtecha pa'alta Hashem. The dwelling place of your abode, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you have fashioned. Mikdash Hashem konanu yadecha. The mikdash of Hashem, which was prepared by your hands. In other words, Hashem, bring us to Eretz Yisrael, bring us to Yerushalayim, bring us to Beis HaMikdash, right? bring us home. Now, this was sung in Oz Yashir. The Jews have already left Mitzrayim. The Jews have already defeated their enemies. The Egyptians are now washed up dead on the shore. Or according to the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, they washed up on the shore and then took their last breath as a Jew was staring down at him. Finally, a full sense of closure. And then the Jewish people saying, Hashem, please bring us to Eretz Yisrael, bring us to Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem maybe looked back at us and said, like, are you joking? You have to ask for that? Where do you think we're going? Why are you talking about that? That's you're like, you're on your way on a trip to a particular location, right? And you're a little kid and your parent says, okay, we're going to the store. And you're on the way to the store and you're like, oh, mom and dad, can we go to the store? What do you mean? We're already on the way to the store. Why? You don't have to ask if we can go to the store. That's exactly where we went to Mitzrayim, to get out of Mitzrayim, to come to Eretz Yisrael, to build Beis HaMikdash, of course. So what exactly were the Jewish people davening or requesting in this pasuk? Explains our Rebbe Ben Avin. Let's try to understand. Halo kol yitzias Mitzrayim ha'isa kedei lachnisim l'Eretz Yisrael. The whole reason we left Mitzrayim is to get us to Eretz Yisrael. So what exactly were we davening for? Ki betach Yoshiam Hashem, ve'achnisim l'Eretz Yisrael, l'Beis HaMikdash. Certainly, Hashem took us out to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, with the intention to bring us to Eretz Yisrael and to give us a Beis HaMikdash. And more than that, what exactly are we saying when we say that the Mikdash Hashem konenu yadecha, the Mikdash of Hashem that your hands established? I'll ask twofold, says the Rebbe. Lama nemar al Beis HaMikdash konenu yadecha? Why does it say about the Beis HaMikdash that your hands were the ones who prepared it, established it? Habnei Yisrael banu osa. Hashem doesn't build Beis HaMikdash. That's a shaila about Bayis Shlishi. It seems like a discussion in the Gemara in Sukkah. I think it's Daf Memhei. Rashi, Tosos, who's going to build the third Beis HaMikdash? Is it going to fall out of the heavens? Are we going to build it? Is it going to be some type of combination of the two? Interesting. But certainly the Beis HaMikdash that we were heading towards now, moving in the direction of Bayis Rishon, which again was still many years away, but what do you mean konenu yadecha? That your hands, what do we build? We build the Beis HaMikdash. We donate, we build, we create. Udivrei Rashi zal yadua. The words of Rashi are well known. And Rashi comments on this pasuk. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called konenu yadecha? The hands of Hashem. So Rashi says it's a lashon of chavivus. Chaviv Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is so beloved to Hashem. Sha'olam nivra biyad achas. Because kiviyachol when Hashem built the world, He built this world with one hand. As the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Perak Mem Ches, Af Yadi Yasta Eretz. Yadi, by my hand, singular. U'mikdash b'shtei yadayim. But the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem, I didn't just do it with one hand. Hashem kiviyachol put both of His hands into it. Hashem was even more involved in it as an expression of what? Greater love. Right? More hands means more effort, more care, more concern, more of a concerted effort. So mikdash b'shtei yadayim. Ve'im asai yibona b'shtei yadayim. And when will the Beis HaMikdash be built, so to speak, with two hands? Bizman shehashem yimloch li'olam ve'ed. The next pasuk. Right? The next pasuk in Az Yashir. When will Hashem build the Beis HaMikdash with two hands? When Hashem will rule in some future time and be recognized by all. La'asid lavo shekol hamalucha shalom. When eventually we eradicate Amalek and we get out of this final galus, and Mashiach comes, then we'll have the third Beis HaMikdash, which Hashem will build with His two hands. So Rashi is already telling us that maybe when Bnei Yisrael are davening, Konenu Yadecha, it's being merames to the ultimate Beis HaMikdash of the future. But again, the first question is our main question. Why do they need to ask to go to Eretz Yisrael? They're on their way to Eretz Yisrael. Why do they need to ask to come to Beis HaMikdash? They're on their way to Beis HaMikdash. Oh, so says the Rebbe, a beautiful idea. Ve'efsher ki'isa b'sfar makadoshim. However, there's a very important idea when it comes to making a theoretical idea a reality. Something might be, you know, true in the realm of speech, but it's not true in the realm of action. Right? And something can take form in the realm of an idea. You can even talk about it, but to bring it down l'maisa is something else. So the Svarim HaKadoshim have an amazing idea. Famous pasuk in Tehillim. La'olam Hashem devarcha nitzav bashamayim. Forever Hashem, your words are standing in the heavens, or are upholding or upheld in the heavens. What does that mean, the word of God is forever standing in Shemayim? Shedibur hu lamala me'asiya. La'olam Hashem devarcha nitzav bashamayim. Shedibur hu lamala me'asiya. Speech, it's higher than action. You see it in the body. I do actions with my arms, I do actions with my guf, I do actions with my legs. Speech is higher, it's physically placed higher, right, than action. We were learning yesterday the difference between a person and an animal. Interestingly, an animal who walks on all fours, right, his head is aligned with his guf. But a human being, your head is on top. Your head is on top. Part of the amuna that we have when we go to sleep is that when we lie down, right, we lie down and we put our head flat like our body, that's sort of animalistic. But you can understand that as, you know, showing the limitations of my physical existence. Or you could also, right, you could also look at sleeping as giving my neshama back to Hashem with emunah pshuta, without, you know, being nervous what's going to happen. Then I wake up in the morning and I say, Modani lefanecha, wow, thank you, Hashem, you gave me my life back. I trusted you with my neshama overnight. Biyadcha afkid ruchi, I hand over my neshama to you. Moshe Wolfson has a beautiful Torah about this. The essence of sleeping in the sukkah is this in you. Now, why does the Gemara always talk about sleeping in the sukkah? The Gemara talks about sleeping in the sukkah. Right? Second paragraph of sukkah is all about, starts off, hayashin. Hayashin tachas amita. It's sleeping. Why talk about sleep? Why is sleeping so much connected? Because if the sukkah is supposed to be this enveloping presence of Hashem, so when I lie down and I trust that I can go to sleep, especially in a rickety little sukkah, and I'm nervous that, you know, who knows what could happen to me, but I trust that Hashem is going to protect me. So it's an amazing expression of amunah. Okay, but under normal circumstances, dibur, my mind, on the top of my body, my mouth, a little bit lower down, but also very high, and then my guf, then my actions below. So dibur is lamala me'asiya. Lachain yesha omer Hashem lohoshia es Yisrael v'kvar ba Yeshua aval hi lamala ba'olam adibur. So therefore, when Hashem says He's going to save Klal Yisrael, it already has taken place in the realm of Dibur. The words have already come true in some spiritual realm. The idea of it has already happened. The word of Hashem is eternal. It can't be undone. La'olam Hashem Devar Chanitza Bashamay. Forever your words are standing in Shemayim. So when Hashem says something, right? It happens right away. Again, look at the words. Lachain. Yesha Omer Hashem Lahoshia Es Yisrael. V'kvar ba HaYeshua. The salvation has already come. However, aval hi lamala ba'olam adibur. But we haven't been able to bring down that Yeshua into this realm already. There's an opinion in the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Hillel, of Rabbi Hillel. It's not Hillel HaZaken. Rabbi Hillel says that Mashiach has already come. There's a lot of interesting discussion about what is that? What on earth does that Gemara mean? Mashiach already happened? Right? But in light of what we're learning now, yes, Mashiach has already happened. How is it that tzaddikim were able to live beyond Galus when they were still in Galus? How did Yaakov Avinu spend the last 17 years of Mitzrayim, of his life in Mitzrayim, and those were the best 17 years of his life? After all the suffering of Esav and Lavan and Dina and Yosef and the brothers, then Yaakov finally comes down to the worst place in the world, and he spends the last 17 years of his life, from age 130 to 147, those 17 years, 17 is Gematria Tov, those were the good years of Yaakov were spent in Mitzrayim, Gevaldik years. He sat in Goshen, he sat, learned in Kailo, finally had a little Yishuv Adas, right? Everything's about to fall apart for Klal Yisrael. And the best years of Yaakov's life were in Golus. For everyone else, Golus is unfolding, and for Yaakov Avinu, it's Mamish Gul, it's Gan Eden. How could that be? Because tzaddikim are able to what? To experience Mashiach before it actually happens in the world. Well, how is that possible? It didn't happen yet. Up there, it already happened. In a parallel universe, in the world of Dibur, in the world of Machshava, it already happened. Our job is to find a way to bring it down. So Mashiach's here, right? When tzaddikim say Mashiach, you know, there's a spirit of Mashiach in the air. What does that mean? It means that Hashem is ready. Yeshua is already in place, but it's lamala. It's in the olam hadibur. It's in some higher, transcendent realm. And our job is to what? Is to bring it down. Va'ad shetimshach olam haza olam asiya misacher eiz zman. But until we're able to be meishich, to drag it into this world, into the world of Asiya, to bring it from a realm of Dibur, the world of speech, the world of ideas, to bring it down into the world of what? Of Asiya, of action. Misachar eiz zman. Sometimes it delays. Sometimes we get stuck. We don't know how to actualize it. However, this is so true about so many things. Forget, you know, promises Hashem made and then seeing them happen in our world with our physical eyes. Think about just for ourselves, the things that in my mind who I want to be, or the things that I daven to be, or the things that I'm willing to say I want to be, and then actually doing it. Right? I want to learn Gemara seriously, I want to daven with Kavana, I want to give more tzedakah, I want to speak less Lashon Hara, I want to have better Shmiras Einayim, Right? We can all think those things. We can all say those things. And you should know that when you do that, it creates that reality already. But it's in some type of transcendent realm. Our job is to figure out, so how do I bring that down into my actual life? How do I take it from dibur, from just lip service, into asiyah? But you should know the dibur is poel. The dibur has already created a reality. Right? Only in Hashem's world, when Hashem speaks, speech and reality, from Hashem's perspective, is one and the same. Hu amar vayahi. He says and it is. Right? But from our perspective, there's like this time lapse. Hashem says, I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim, but from our perspective, it seems like it's a drawn-out process. So he says, let me just finish the paragraph, La'olam Hashem devarcha nitzah b'shamayim. So when the Pasuk says in Tehillim, forever Hashem, your words are standing in Shemayim, it means that on the realm of Dibor, it's already there, it's happening. L'mal me'olam asiyah, it's just a little bit beyond our physical world. So now we have to figure out, so how do we bring it down? Right? Or how do we live with the fact that it's not here yet? And what the Rebbe, of course, is trying to mechazik people in on Isru Chag Shel Pesach is that the month of Nisan, which we're wrapping up now, is a month that what? B'Nisan Nigalu. B'Nisan Asidin Ligal. In the month of Nisan, the Jewish people were redeemed. In the month of Nisan, we'll be redeemed again. So now you went through a Pesach, and there was no Geula. I sat at the Seder. Did nothing happen? What's the Rebbe's answer? Or, from the Rebbe's perspective, we've been waiting for redemption for so long. The Rebbe doesn't know at this point, again, from a chronological perspective, that he's going to have 2 more years of Torah, and he's eventually going to die at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemo. Right? But from the perspective of, you know, the Rebbe's davening, we've been waiting for Geula. The Rebbe's trying to be mechazik to people. You should know the Geula is here already. In the realm of Dibur, it's already here. Chavi, you should know that on Pesach, this year, Tavshin Pei Beis, we brought Mashiach. We did? Yeah, we brought it in the realm of Dibur. Through our mitzvos that we did, we brought it in the realm of Dibur, and now we just got to tug it down a little bit more. It's mamish right there. And maybe that's part of that answer to that question about who's going to build the third Beis HaMikdash. Is Hashem going to build the third Beis HaMikdash? Are we going to build the third Beis HaMikdash? So maybe you had a preschool teacher who told you a deep Torah. Right? Maybe your preschool teacher told you, you know, Kinderlach. Maybe she didn't say Kinderlach. Maybe she did. Depends where you went to school. Kinderlach, when you do a mitzvah, you should know, right, that you're building a brick. You're putting another brick in the Beis HaMikdash. Our children went to a Chabad preschool. They definitely heard it like that. Right? Every mitzvah that you do puts another brick in the Bayis Shlishi. Right? You're creating that spiritual Beis HaMikdash in Shemayim. Right? And then the Gemara's, again, that discussion in the Rishonim, how is the third Beis HaMikdash going to come? It's going to come from Shemayim. It's going to fall out of the Shemayim. So who built it? Us or Hashem? The answer is maybe both. Maybe we're building it now in a spiritual realm. And then eventually, if it gets heavy enough, maybe it'll fall down into, it'll actually be a Beis HaMikdash. Right? It'll be a Kodesh Kodashim. It'll be something we can see and visit and touch. It'll become a physical reality. Okay? Yeah, Dobe, you wanted to say something?
Let's say, like you said earlier, if you're living in the world of Dibur, you have those aspirations. So if, let's say, you achieve or start to achieve one of them, is that you bring stuff down? Let's say you have I wish I could learn more, and then a person starts to learn a little bit more. Is that bringing something from the Olam HaDibur down into this world, or is it making something go up?
It's both. Meaning that, you know, it's like that pasuk in Tehillim, He'amanti ki adaber, right? He'amanti ki adaber. What does that mean? So the way the Bali Musar say, Ha'amanti, I start to believe things ki adaber if I say them. In other words, on the one hand, Emor ma'at va'ase harbe, right? Say less and do more. At the same time, Ha'amanti ki adaber, when I say it, if I say it enough times, maybe I can make that a reality. Or another way to interpret that pasuk, Ha'amanti, what does it say about Mordechai's relationship with Esther? Got to remember this. Whenever you see the word amuni, you have to think about this. Right. Mordechai is Omein es Hadassah. What does that mean? You could seal Yehuda. He raised Hadassah. What does it mean to raise someone? Right. It means that you're drawing them through the process of life. You're helping that person transition from one stage to the next stage. So the word, or the shoresh, Aleph Mem Nun, could also mean Hamshacha, to draw, to pull out, right? To nurture, to develop. So Ha'amanti Ki Adaber, in the context of what we're learning, means what? It means I've already said it. It already exists in the realm of Dibur, but now Ha'amanti, I have to try to what? I have to try to draw it out into physical reality. But again, it's good. Again, if it's truly sincere Diburim, so that helps. That's creating it in a certain realm, and now the goal is to continue to actualize it, to bring it down. Okay? So he gives a very interesting example of this, as we see from the Nevi'im. L'chein osu ha-Nevi'im ha-Kedoshim lif'amim pu'ula dim'yoynis k'gon Elisha ha-Navi sh'tziva l'melech Yisrael liros b'keshas. Got this one?
Yeah.
How about you? Yitzchak Shmuel, you got this one? Remember this story? It's Yoash. What happened? Sometimes the Nevi'im, the holy Nevi'im, did a pu'ula dimyonis. They asked someone, or they themselves did something, a pu'ula dimyonis, something which was an action that was acting out a certain aspiration, like Elisha who commanded the king of Israel, Yoash, to shoot arrows. Va'amar, and he said to him, Shalosh pe'amim taka es aram v'kedome. You shot the arrow a couple of times. If you would have shot it a few more times, you could have defeated your enemy completely. Now, you don't actually wipe out the enemy just by shooting an arrow, but he wanted him to do something which he could kind of daven over, which was representative, right, of what they want. You know, they want to defeat the enemies of Klal Yisrael. So we've davened over it, you know, we're hoping for it. So now, you know what? Shoot an arrow. Do something to give it some type of physical manifestation, which will hopefully help it to what? To snowball in that way, to unfold in the physical realm. I want to pause for a second and read you a Chai Adam. Who's a Chai Adam? What is the Sefer Chai Adam? Rav Avram Danzig, Sefer Tzadik Levracha, relative of the Vilna Gaon by marriage, one of the most important, once upon a time, was the most, you know, was sort of a classic work of halacha that people actually learned. Yeah, you see a quote in the Mishnah Berurah. You learn Mishnah Berurah. But it used to be, Chai Adam was a go-to. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Chai Adam. These are things that the average person would study to get a, you know, kind of a clear synopsis of halacha. Very important work of halacha. So the Chai Adam writes in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, in Klal Kuf Lamed Tes. He writes an interesting thing. However, what do we do on Rosh Hashanah? On Rosh Hashanah, we come home from shul, we make Kiddush. The Kevan Shehu Tchilas Hashanah, Noagin Laso Simen Tov Lechol Dvarim Harom Zim Lizeh. Since it's a new year, we have new aspirations, so hopefully it's a good time, it's a Simen Tov. So we do things that hint to all of our hopes for the new year. Right? We dip the apple in the honey, it should be a sweet year. We eat the head of whatever you're into, right? It should be a sign for, you should be a head and not a tail, right? And we eat, you know, leeks, and we eat cabbage, or we eat fenugreek, and we eat, yeah, all the things that the Gemara discusses. That's Simana Milsa. We're in Horios, we're in Krisos, I think, also has it. I think those are the two places where the Gemara actually quotes this idea. And then the Chai Adam writes, V'hatam lezeh. And why do we do that? What kind of silly game is this that we're playing on Rosh Hashanah? Right? Such a serious time. And all of a sudden, and by the way, the post will say, you can make up your own Ramazim. Right? You can make up your own ideas. Yeah? My brother likes to put a bottle of Corona beer on the table. So the old parish used to be that you should coronate the king. Mamlech the Melech. Kasser Yitnu Lecha. Right, but now it's also a tefillah that it should be a year that is freed from any corona bechulo. Right, but you make up your own. You make up your own tefillahs. You can daven over things. I like fish. I eat fish. Some people really don't like fish. One of our daughters is very anti-fish. Okay, so you know what we do? We take little gummy fish, jellyfish, and we eat the heads. And we say that you should be a head and not a tail, right out of the mouth. What kind of crazy games are these? on Rosh Hashanah, no less. You can make up your own, and sometimes you get a good laugh out of it. It's a very deep inyan. So says the Chaya Adam, Vatam Lezeh, why do we do this? The reason for this, look in the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, where the Ramban says the following. Listen to this Lashon. Da ki kol gzeiras irin, mishi yotza lamata, simin lezeh lo yishtana b'shum ofen. When there's a gzeira ilo, when there's some type of heavenly decree, when it's yotza lamata, when it finds physical expression in this world, that's a sign that it's already taking place and it won't change. So we want to capture those opening moments of the year. I just made Kiddush, I came home, I made a motzi, and now immediately I'm trying to mold the year by doing certain actions. V'zeh nirali barur shu atam sha'amru razal. This is the reason that Chazal said, hashta da'amrit simana milsa. Now that we see that a simon is a real thing, so we should do all these funny things at the beginning of the year. It's a simon. I want to make a simon. I want to mark the year in some type of small action, which again hopefully opens those channels of taking that potential, that possibility, and making it a reality. Fascinating, no? Amazing idea. And it's basically quotes a Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha. Okay? So now, coming back to our Rebbe the Eish Kodesh. So Elisha told the king Yoash to shoot an arrow, and he says, you shot the arrow a couple of times, that's a sign that you're going to have some success in fighting against Aram, and Halavai, you know, you keep doing actions, so it'll become a reality. Shehu asiya me'ein ha-yeshua. Do an action, he says, second to last line. That is what? That is me'ein ha-yeshua. And in some way is reflective of the Yeshua itself. Kedei lahamshich asiya yeshua miyad olam asiya. To bring down that theoretical salvation into the realm of reality, into the realm of action. Okay? Let's read footnote 2. Actually, let's read footnote 1 and 2. First, let's read the full pasuk. What actually happened over there? What exactly did Elisha say to Yoash? She was actually upset at him. Look at the pasuk in source number 1, footnote 1. Vayiktzof alav ish Elokim. The godly man, Elisha, got angry at him, and he said to him, La'kos chamesh oshesh pa'amim oz hakisa es aram ad kalei. Had you shot the arrow 5 or 6 times, that would be enough to wipe out Aram completely. Va'ata shalosh pa'amim takeh es aram. It's missing a word here. It's supposed to be takeh es aram. But you only did 3 times, so you're only going to have more limited success. But again, more action, right, leads to more action. Yeah. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah, avera goreres avera. Our actions have this snowball effect. Now, where is this idea in the Svarim HaKadoshim? The Rebbe quoted B'Shem the Svarim HaKadoshim, this idea. So if you look, in footnote 2, he quotes from the Sefer Arvei Nachal, which is a very Gevaltic Sefer, in Parshas Lech Lecha. He says, Kasher yasa eza poel demyoni, doma lahadavar sheyikra la'asid. When a person does some action which is a reflection of what he hopes to happen in the future, that creates that reality. That makes that thing certainly happen. You're giving it expression. Right? It's a very powerful idea. We find this with the Nevi'im, that they did things to try again, to bring that possibility into action. And he uses a strong lashon. That's why the Rosh Hashanah Simanim are not a joke. If we can start the year, if we can get the year rolling in a sweet way, halavai, that will create a ripple effect in the realm of Asiya. Okay? So this is one of the Svarim HaKadoshim that speaks this idea that our Eish Kodesh, that our Rebbe is sharing with us. Yes?
Just quickly, how do you define
Paul Dimyoni? What's a Dimyon? What does the word Dimyon mean?
Example.
All right, example or you know, imaginary. Right, so it's not the real thing. When he shot a few arrows, it's not like he shot 3 magical arrows and they destroyed Aram. Right? But he did something which was a dimyon, a representation, somehow gave him ability to picture in a more tangible way his hopes of defeating Aram.
But it's not just like a random
action. No, it's not a random action. Right. It has to be somehow the beginning of the expression of that desire. Exactly. Okay? So let's turn to the second page. Ayin Dalet. So now let's understand a couple of really amazing ideas. So how do we do it today? I don't have an Elisha to come and tell me, you should do like this, you should do like that. I don't have a Yirmiyahu Hanavi to tell me, you should do like this, you should do like that. I don't have Tzadikim who can, you know, tell me what to do. So he says, Asiyosenu ha-mitzvos, shu-gam keim ham-shachas d'var Hashem. Hainu, d'var Hashem b'mitzvos. What do I do to take Hashem's ideas and words and give them expression? It's called a mitzvah. You can read the Chumash and you can read about, you know, putting on tefillin, or you could actually put on your tefillin. You could read about keeping Shabbos, or you can keep Shabbos. You could read about keeping kosher, or you could actually keep kosher. Asiyosein, look at his words. Asiyosein ha-mitzvos. Our performance of mitzvos. Shugam kenam shachas dvar Hashem. That's also drawing the word of Hashem into reality. Hainu dvar Hashem mitzvos, namely the word of God that is found within those mitzvos. El olam ha-asiyah lasos ha-mitzvos. I bring down that idea of Hashem into reality by performing the mitzvos. Poel lahamshech as dvar Hashem shel ha-yeshua gamken el olam ha-asiyah. So in doing so, when I start to bring down the word, the ideas, the hopes, the aspirations of Hashem, the Ratzon Hashem into this world, in other words, I don't know how to bring Mashiach into the world. When I had a Navi, the Navi said, oh, you want to defeat Aram? Shoot a couple of arrows. That'll be a good simon for defeating Aram. The Gemara says, oh, you want to have a sweet new year? So do like this or do like that. Simana Milsa. And the Gemara has a whole list of things we eat at the beginning of the year as a good sign. Right? But I don't know how to bring Mashiach. What do I do? What action can I do to draw Mashiach into reality? So the answer is mitzvahs. Why? Because Mashiach exists in the realm of Yeshua, the salvation already exists in the realm of Dibur. Just like mitzvos and Torah exist in the theoretical realm. So when I draw, the Rebbe's making a little bit of a leap here, it sounds like, but when I draw mitzvos from Dibur into action, automatically, once I start creating those pipelines of taking words and turning them into action, well, hopefully some of that Yeshua, that salvation, which is in the realm of Dibur, gets drawn down with my mitzvot as well. Once I start learning how to pull things down into this world and make it a reality, hopefully I can open up the floodgates and bring all of those aspirations down, right? It's Poel Lahamshech as Dvar Hashem Shaha Yeshua Gam Kein Al Olam Asiya. It draws the Yeshua of Hashem down into the world of action, yeah.
So, is it in the Olam of Dibur because, like, technically Hashem said that?
Yeah. Hashem said, Hashem's the Torah is the Dvar Hashem. But everything's the Dvar Hashem. All the bracha that Hashem wants to give us has already been said. All of this Yeshua that Hashem wants to give us has already been said. We just have to figure out how do I feel that and experience it in this world. So when I had a Navi, the Navi told me, try like this, try like that. But nowadays, so how do I draw things down? So I take the Dvar Hashem, namely Torah, and its mitzvos, and I do them. And in doing so, I bring down Yeshua from the world of Dibur into the world of Asiyah.
It's interesting that you said that Torah is Dvar Hashem, where it's actually like a whole book of Asiyah.
Right, but it's only Asiyah when we make it Asiyah.
But I'm saying like the actual whole Torah is it's talking about the Am Yisrael doing the Asiyah.
Right. We have to continue to model that behavior. Yeah. So now, let's get a little bit of a Pesach and Leaving Mitzrayim connection. Hopefully, again, now that we've left Mitzrayim in the theoretical realm on Pesach, we can now actualize that in a real way. Mikol shekein ata b'Pesach. Sha'am mitzvos ma'isyos min dvar Hashem shel Yeshua hein. So the Rebbe says, when you wear tefillin, you take the idea of tefillin, you make it a reality. And that brings Mashiach. That helps to create Mashiach. And when the Torah says, keep Shabbos, and you keep Shabbos, you make it a reality. So that also, that helps to bring Mashiach. But there are certain mitzvos, which even more so, are drawing Yeshua into our world. Drawing salvation into our world. Namely, the mitzvos of Pesach. Because their whole context is what? is the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. So the mitzvahs of Pesach, all the more so, are actions that bring... If you're not convinced that checking your suit for shatness, yeah, or wearing tzitzis brings Mashiach to the world, okay, the Rebbe is telling you it does. But certainly those mitzvahs that, again, are representations of the salvation of Klal Yisrael from the biggest gullus of all time, Mitzrayim, so that certainly puts into motion. That certainly brings Mashiach closer. That's what the Rebbe is saying. Matzos. Last word of the line. Matzos. Hashem shalom hispik batzekem shalavosinu lahachmitz atshenigla aleyem melech malchei emlochem kadosh baruch hu begala. Like we say in the Haggadah, matzah shanu oichlim, this matzah that we eat, al shumma, what is the matzah about? And we explain in the Haggadah, because they didn't have time to allow their bread to rise before HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and saved them. So when you eat matzah, you're creating that reality. Dalid kosos. Keneged dalid lishonos ha-geula. It corresponds to the four lishonos of geula. Okay, so that creates that reality. Shetzricha asiyaseinu lahamshech es yeshuaseinu. That we need that action to what? To draw that salvation. Shetehei tekaf umiyad. Velosa acher chas v'chalila. And by doing it, we hasten the process. More mitzvos, more pipelines, more channels to bring the dibur into reality. Right? That's that notion. Do another mitzvah. Your mitzvos are going to bring Mashiach. Right? Eventually it's going to tip the scale. We're opening up those doorways, those passages. And eventually if we keep creating that reality, we'll draw enough Yeshua into the world that we'll actually see it mamish, agula shleim. So the Rebbe says, this answers a very fundamental question about matzah. You'll ask a very simple question if you're paying attention. What is the Haggadah answer? Matzazu al shoma. This matzah that we eat, what's it about? What is the Haggadah answer? That what? We didn't have time to let our bread rise on the way out of Mitzrayim. Really? Really? That's why we eat matzah? Ha'od b'mitzrayim kodem yitzi'asam nitztavu lechol matzah. We were commanded before we left Mitzrayim to eat matzah. What do you think we ate our Karban Pesach with? On that night of leaving Mitzrayim, what did we eat our Karban Pesach with? Right? Pesach matzah mar. We ate matzah Mitzrayim. Ha'lach ma'anya. The achalu avasana ba'ara de Mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction that our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. It wasn't just what we took for the road. We already ate matzah Mitzrayim. Some Rishonim say we ate matzah throughout our entire slavery in Mitzrayim. Right, matzah, some say, is a food that's good to give a slave because it's cheap and it's filling. And it lasts a long time in your stomach. Right? Ibn Ezra was once taken captive, and he said that his captors fed him something that resembled matzah. It's a good, cheap food to give a slave. So halach ma'anya, this is the food of affliction that we ate in Mitzrayim. According to some, we ate it in Mitzrayim. But even if we didn't eat it throughout our entire stay in Mitzrayim, we certainly ate it before we left Mitzrayim. So I don't understand. So why do we say in the Haggadah, this is the matzah, we're commemorating the matzah that we ate as a sign of God saving us? Well, then what was the matzah we ate in Mitzrayim? Oh, says the Rebbe, it's so obvious now. Well, the fi'a nizkar le'el. But based on what we've been explaining in this whole piece, gam oz siva Hashem mikodem shiyasu mitzvah me'ein Yeshua. Hashem says, I want you to do something that is what? Before it happens, before we get out, I want you to somehow model it. Before it even happens. Because your modeling it is going to make it happen. If you try to live with a Mashiach Dikah perspective, that's not just a way to kind of get around Gullis. That's a way to what? To actually bring Mashiach. By eating matzah in Mitzrayim, that helps us to run out of Mitzrayim and be saved with our matzah in our hands. It's me'ein Yeshua mehira kadesh tehei me'ein pu'ula dimyonis Hashem shol hispik kadesh yigalu miyad. By modeling it, we make that our reality. We make it happen. Nate, what do you want to say?
I read that Mashiach will either come when we're at our best or when we're at our worst.
Right.
So how does that come into, I guess, like, keep on doing mitzvot to bring Mashiach? What if, does that mean if we all sin as much, Mashiach will come as much?
Right, that's a good question. It's a strange Gemara. The Gemara says a generation that's either kulo zaka, either totally pure, totally innocent, or kulo chayiv. As Rav Kook famously said, a generation that's both. That's kulo zakai u kulo chayiv. That's Rav Kook said. The Bendina Rav also said the same thing in his Sefer Yechahin Pe'er. Yeah, what does that mean? A generation that's kulo chayiv and kulo zakai. Where we're our best and we're our worst at the same time. I believe in such an idea. I believe in such an idea. Are we better than ever or are we worse than ever? On the one hand, you read the Sadaros. On the other hand, Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin quotes from Rav Simcha Bunu of Prishisla, saying that the Nekuda Shebelev, the Pintel Yid, gets more refined with each passing generation. There's a part of us that gets deeper and gets more connected and more honest and more real. And there's a part of us that what? That gets swept up by all the shtuyot of the world. So, you know, it's a confusing Gemara, that concept. Right? You know, we have to either become perfect. Well, it doesn't sound like we're going to be perfect, so we might as well, you know, try to bottom out, hit rock bottom. Right? So that's obviously not a realistic. I'm saying that's not a mahalach. So we have to. Yeah, it's a tricky. That's a strange thing. Look at footnote number 4 for 1 second. The Rechaim HaKadosh. It says we should eat matzah. Shivas yamim, hinei hatamu letzad shelo hispik batzekam lahachmitz v'ga'olam ha'goel. V'im tomer, and if you'll ask, halo hayotzim adayin lo yotzu laso zikaron l'dvar Hashem. Halo gam ha-pesach shesiva Hashem l'kach ha-sel l'beis avos adayin lo pasach. Ela b'schus mitzvah zu yifaseach Hashem. Gam ha-matza b'schus mitzvah zu yimaher l'ga'olam v'chein hayam. Rechaim HaKadosh says the same idea. That in the schus of wanting to do the mitzvah, or starting to do the mitzvah, again, it created that reality. By being osek in Karban Pesach, Hashem is going to pass over their homes. By eating the matzah, Hashem is going to take us out without giving us time for our bread to rise. Okay? So whenever we try to, again, make that action a reality, that hastens the geula. And now, says the Rebbe, we understand in the final paragraph, Uvisov shirasam hispalu. So therefore, when the Jewish people sang Az Yashir, what did they daven? What did they sing? They said, Hashem, bring us to Eretz Yisrael. Bring us to Beis HaMikdash. They started talking more and more about Beis HaMikdash. They were longing for Beis HaMikdash. Right, well, what does that do? Why are they doing that? Hein Yodim Anu, certainly they knew Sheyachnisenu Hashem LeEretz Yisrael LeBeis HaMikdash. They weren't saying, you know, bring us to, as if they're saying the Chiddush, bring us to Eretz Yisrael, bring us to Beis HaMikdash. However, we know that. They know where they're going. That was the whole point of leaving Mitzrayim. That's the destination. So what exactly are they asking for? Ela tivi'emo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring us now. Lo halicha hanimsheches. We know that so much of life gets trapped in that realm between Dibur and Asiyah. Hashem, they're talking about it more, like we said before, Dovi, right? The more you talk about it, the more that also makes it more of a reality. A Jew has to talk about Eretz Yisrael, a Jew has to talk about Beis HaMikdash, a Jew has to talk about Mashiach. And the speech also, when the speech creates it already in a certain realm, and then all I have to do is figure out how to pull it down. And it's not always easy to know how to be nimshach, how to make it something that I'm able to be mamshach into my life. But the Tivi Emo was Klal Yisrael trying to speed up the process by being more connected to that process. Tivi Emo Miyad. Kevon Shemikdash Hashem Konenu Yadecha. What does that mean? Since the Mikdash is already prepared by you, so to speak, Hashem. Shal Yedei Asiyas HaMitzvos. Min Me'ein HaYeshua, the Poel. Shai Sa'oz B'Yasiyas Mitzrayim U'Vayam. The mitzvos that we performed, which are indicative, which are me'ein ha-yeshua, which are a reflection of the salvation itself. And we practice them on our way out of Mitzrayim. We practice them by the Amsuf. So too, gam devar Hashem. So too, that word, that promise of Hashem, shal ha'achnasa la'aretz, u'beis ha-mikdash, gam king kfar nimshach la'asiyah b'chinas yadecha. Mikdash Hashem konenu yadecha. What we're saying is, Hashem, we want it in the realm of Yadayim. We want to see it. We know it's there. And we know in a theoretical realm you've promised it, and we're going to get there. But Klal Yisrael is saying, come on, let's get there faster. Let's make it a reality. I don't want to live my whole life being a theoretical Jew. I'll tell you a nice shot that Ashi Bloom told me yesterday from the Sefer Chamra Tava on this week's Parsha. Chavah, this is a stark Musar. I want you to take this seriously. On the one hand, we spoke yesterday how Sviras HaOmer, right, is sort of this gradual process of, you know, step by step getting there. But we started with a bang. We started with Pesach, which is this or gadol of, whoa, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, get the whole thing. Right? And then we come to our Sinai and Shavuos, and we get the whole thing. Mamish, Gilo Eshchina, Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. So sometimes in life, it's a question, you know, do I try to get there quickly? Do I try to get there slowly? However, I want to give you a bracha that you don't get there too slowly. You got to get there. At some point, you got to do it. You got to do what you want to do with your life. What does it say in this week's parsha? I'll end with this. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe achrei Moshe shnei bnei Aaron bekar v'asam lefnei Hashem v'yamusu. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, daber al Aaron achicha. Tell your brother Aaron Kohen Gadol. I'm about to learn about the Kohen Gadol in Maseches Makos. About the death of a Kohen Gadol. Go tell your brother Aaron, al yavo b'chol eis al ha-kodesh. You can't go into Kodesh Kadashim whenever you want. Mibes l'paroichas. Al panei ha-kapores asher al ha-aron v'lo yamus. You can't just go in wherever you want and stand in front of the Aaron in Kodesh Kadashim. Ki be'anon e'ra'el al ha-kapores. With a cloud, with that cloud of the Kapores that you're going to bring on Yom Kippurim, it's only in the context of the Karbanos Yom Kippurim that you're allowed to go into Kodesh Kadashim. There is an interesting discussion, by the way. If the Kohen Gadol got in the mood to go to Kodesh Kadashim on a regular Tuesday, can he follow the Seder of these Karbanos and go into Kodesh Kadashim? It says he's not allowed to go in except when he brings these Karbanos. You think, oh, well, those are Karbanos Yom Kippurim. So that means once a year on Yom Kippur, he's allowed to go in. It's a fascinating discussion. If the Kohen Gadol does this on a different day, can he give himself access through that? And some say, perhaps he can. But on the words, V'al yavo b'chol eis ala kodesh, Bizos yavo Aaron el Hakodesh. With this, Aaron shall go in. The Sefer Chamra Tava, Rav Avram Simcha Horowitz from Baranov says, Al yavo b'chol eis el Hakodesh. Listen carefully. Al yavo b'chol eis el Hakodesh. A person can't just come to Kedusha whenever he wants. A person might say, "Okay, I'll get there. Whatever. I'm not ready to be so holy yet." When I'm a little bit older, I'll be a little more, you know, serious, a little more focused. When I'm married, when I'm grounded, when I have kids, then I'll get my act together. Realize, Al yavo b'chol eis al hakodesh. Al yavo b'chol eis al hakodesh. You don't always get other opportunities to enter into a life of Kedusha. I'll learn when I'm, you know, I have other things now. Well, eventually I'll retire, and then when I retire, then I'll sit and I'll learn. Right? Al yavo b'chol eis al hakodesh. Don't be so convinced that you're going to be able to enter in to a life of greater Kedusha whenever you want. Bizos yavo Aaron al HaKodesh. Sometimes Kedusha presents itself to you, and you got to grab the opportunity. A Jew can sit around waiting, yeah, Mashiach's already there. In theoretical, you know, ville, it's already there. And eventually it'll be here, so whatever. Hashem will work the timeline. Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim and they said, Hashem, we know we're going to get to Eretz Yisrael. That much we do know, because it's your promise, Hashem, and you're good for your promises. But let's get there a little bit faster. And all the more so, when we have our own, you know, aspirations, and we say our own Diburim, don't be convinced that it's necessarily, again, it's a good start, Hamanti Ki Adaber, but Al Yavo B'chol Eis Al HaKodesh, don't sit around too long waiting for it to happen. Make it a reality. And again, the Rebbe says we don't have Nevi'im, and we don't have prophets and seers, right, who can tell us exactly how to make that a reality, but we make it a reality by doing mitzvahs. When I do a mitzvah, I take a pasuk in Chumash, a dibur of Hashem, and I make it a reality. And that creates a habshacha, a manti, that draws it into my life. So we have to be like Klal Yisrael. The Rebbe, it's a tremendous chizik. The Rebbe is saying to these Jews, in 1940, right after Pesach, you should know that the mitzvahs of Pesach draw Yeshua into the world. Okay? All right? So We should be zoche. We should be zoche to not only be theoretical Jews, but we should be Jews who are zoche to through our actions to bring Mashiach from here to Minu. Yes, David. Yeah.
So when we were discussing last night with the yod,
no matter how much you chop a yod, it's still a yod.
So that could be like every generation, you're just chopping it and refining it more and getting it closer to being nothingness, which is
right.
Like closer to being not finite anymore.
It's a diamond that's being formed under pressure, right? The weightiness of the gullus, like a beautiful shining diamond that's formed in a pressurized, you know, cavern. That's us. Yeah. Amazing idea. Yeah. That's what it means. Zohar says, dark out of darkness comes light. So dafka, beautiful. Some of the most beautiful things in this world are found in the darkest, most hidden places. So that's us also. That's the Orient Sof that's shining inside of us. All right, Beseder?